Joining us now, we have the superintendent of schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, joining us in studio. Matt, how are we doing today?
I'm fantastic. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. You know, it's no beach in Mexico, but I'm enjoying my week.
Well, you know, I always thought that you could really mistake downtown Northfield for Mexico in terms of the weather and, you know, it's cold out today, and I'm pretty sure Jeff and Terry are having warmer weather than what we're having here.
Yeah, I've seen a couple videos of them in the jungle. I think you're right. So,
well, good for them. They work hard, and we're so thankful for what they bring to the community. They deserve a week away for sure.
They do. Hopefully we can do them proud and keep the ship going here.
They go away because they trust you guys to do it, so you're doing well.
All right, Matt. Well, we had a meeting last night. You have a couple new members or one new member?
Yeah, so, you know, last night was our first school board meeting of the year. So we actually had two school board meetings last night, the first of which is called the organizational meeting, and that's the number of annual actions that the school board needs to take to organize itself. So and this year, because we did have an election for school board members in November, we did seat new board members. And so board members who won new terms in November were Julie Pritchard, Jeff Quinnell, and Tom Brarniak. And so Vice Chair Ellen Iverson administered the oath of office to those three. And, of course, Tom is new to the board, replacing Margaret Colangelo, who had served a term and had determined not to run again. And so sat those new members, and then they elected officers, and the officers of the board will stay the same this year as they had last year. Julie Pritchard, you know, will be the chair. Ellen Iverson will be the vice chair. Noel Stratmon is the clerk, and Dr. Rob Hardy is the treasurer. And so we have those folks in place. So that was a real positive thing to get that thing going. And then, as I had mentioned with Jeff the last time we talked, in December the board had just talked about their own school board member stipends. And it's always a very difficult thing for people to talk about that. But we hadn't talked about raising stipends in Northfield since 2008. And so the board had a very thoughtful discussion, and they had done quite a bit of research, and they did choose to increase their stipends beginning July 1, 2019. What that will do is that's for the next fiscal year. And, you know, they raised them to $275 a month for a director and $325 a month for the chair. And that, actually, when you look at it, puts us right about in the middle of the Big Nine Conference. So even though it's an increase, we're still in the average of the Big Nine Conference, but it's a discussion that board members take very seriously. It's, again, we haven't updated it since 2008. And, you know, it's not just two meetings a month that school board members attend. It's quite a few other things, ad hoc committees, work groups, school events, those kinds of things. So that was the organizational meeting. They took care of those things and other, you know, fun things like establishing the mileage rate and some other things. So just some general organizational pieces. So that took about 30 minutes.
Well, and anyone who's ever served on boards knows you're not doing it for the pay. For the amount of work you put in, this is not a highly compensated position.
Well, in fact, most board members, when they get on the board, they're surprised that they get a stipend. But, you know, one of the things that we do know is that, you know, for people with children and various work schedules and spousal work schedules, you know, they may need to have some compensation in order to, you know, secure child care and those kinds of things to participate in these things. So we want to make sure that we're competitive, you know, within the Big Nine, so that when we do have an election in 2020, that if people look at it, that, you know, that stipend that had been around for 11 years, you know, doesn't prevent or preclude people from choosing to run for the board.
Yeah, definitely keep the good members that you have around and continue to gain new ones. So, all right, well, once we got finished with some of the logistical stuff, what else did you guys work on?
Well, we had a regular meeting then, and we had several really great reports last night. And the first report is something that Northfielders are going to hear more about in the next 6 to 8 weeks. We had high school physical education and health teachers Leah Sand and John Sand come to the board. They also coach and advise a number of groups as well, including some student-athlete leaders through a program called Rally and then also a program called Life of an Athlete. And they gave a presentation to the board that they had given to our high school faculty back in November about a phenomenon people have probably been reading about in the newspaper. It's been national stories about teenagers and vaping, or what some people would remember as e-cigarettes. And I think that, you know, when e-cigarettes first started to come out, you know, people think of that as, you know, kind of a large device in which people, you know, inhale the nicotine and then blow these very large clouds of smoke. You see them, you know, doing this, you know, for various purposes. And part of the reason that came about, it was intended to potentially help people transition, who are currently smokers, transition away from smoking. The issue is that in the past couple of years, there's been some new approaches to how companies provide this e-liquid or this liquid that is a nicotine. It is actually nicotine. And the technology has come so far where it is not the big clouds of vapor anymore. In fact, if you look in the local Star Tribune, for example, nearly every Sunday there's an advertisement from a company called Juul, J-U-U-L. And they're really kind of backtracking because their initial advertisements and marketing, really the average and reasonable person could say it was directed at young people. The kind of flavoring that they use in this liquid or that in the vape that is created from it is often candy or fruit flavored. The average person looks and says that there's no way you aren't marketing this to teenagers.
Yeah.
They're now taking out full-page ads in newspapers to say, no, we're really trying to use this, you know, to help transition existing smokers to this, what they are considering to be a healthier alternative. And, of course, there's a healthy as a relative term here. And I don't think the science is there quite yet, whether it is or not.
I'm afraid of what they're going to find out, how harmful it is, even compared to regular cigarettes as time goes on. You know, such a new product. I have two middle schoolers, and they've come home, and it's even been an issue at the middle school.
It absolutely has.
And that's when I started looking into this more. You know, I didn't know much about it. Another problem with it is they may try and say it's a transition away from smoking, but it has such a higher level of nicotine in it that it becomes addictive very quickly.
There's a lot of chemistry involved in this, and certainly the key thing that we're focused on is how do we make sure that we ensure that our young people are safe. Because teenagers do want to try things by nature. Their brain is undergoing the largest rewiring of it since they were toddlers. Anyone who's ever had a teenager absolutely understands that they try to push boundaries and what is the thing that they can try next. And the issue that we're seeing with this latest round of vaping technology is if we brought some of the equipment, for example, the Juul in to the office here at KYMN, and we asked 15 people on the street to stop in, I would bet that 13 or 14 or 15 of the people who stopped in to look at it would think it's a USB flash drive, the kind of thing you might plug into your computer. It looks like an older USB flash drive, but the fact is most adults in the community wouldn't even know what the equipment is that students or young people are using to vape. And the other piece about the newer technology is that the large clouds of smoke are not there any longer. In fact, what we know is that, you know, if we can tell you for sure. We've had students who have done this in their classroom because what will happen is they can take the vape and then they can blow the vapor down their shirt, and very few people would really understand or know or be the wiser. And so this is a piece that we don't want to make it the community think like we've got every student doing this, but we frankly don't know how many are because the data hasn't caught up. And in fact, even some of the national surveys, we've seen their estimates about 20% of teenagers have done this. And of course, there's going to be some who try it and don't care for it. There'll be some who will become addicted to it, and we know that. And so one of the things that we're so proud about this community is that when we find something that is impacting children's health, you know, we do rally around it. And so we're going to be working with our communication partner, Nuger Communications, to provide a community-wide information campaign in February. We're really going to blitz people with a lot of information so that every adult in the community and every student in the community and grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts and neighbors are aware of what this is, and they know what the equipment looks like. They understand what it does. And really what we have found is that simply by telling kids, you know, hey, don't do this, number one. Believe it or not, they actually do listen to the adults a lot of the time. Not everyone, but they do care what we think. And then the second, especially a caring adult, someone who a grandparent has tremendous influence over their grandchildren. And if they can share, hey, I've heard about this vaping, make sure you're not doing it, and then tell your friends not to do it, you'd be shocked how far that does go. It doesn't solve the problem, but it gets us a longer way. But when kids know that we are rallied together, first of all, it's because we care about them, and we want them to be healthy. And this is a new phenomenon, and these things come up every few years. But what we want to make sure is people understand it. And so John and Leah Sand just did a fantastic job last night. I do encourage people to watch the replay of the school board meeting on either NTV or the replay will be up on our website this morning. This would be right away at the beginning of the regular school board meeting once it goes up, because you're going to have a chance to see what the equipment looks like that kids are using and adults are using, and just so people become aware.
Yeah, and as this is becoming more of a hot topic, myself, as I was saying, my kids came home talking about it and trying to keep an open line of communication about it, is there's a lot of information out there online, And you can, if you want to do your own research, you can definitely find out what you need to know to do your best to keep your kids away from it. So
absolutely. We also had some great presentations from the two charter schools that the Northfield Public School District authorizes. We're one of only three school districts in the state that authorize charter schools, and Prairie Creek and Arcadia are our two charter schools. They gave their annual reports. They did a fantastic job. Really pleased with that. Thanks to Barb Warrenson and Simon Tyler for coming in with some of their staff to do their presentation. So proud. A lot of communities, the charter schools and the local public school are at loggerheads, and just not the case here. We have a fantastic relationship with them, so they gave great presentations. Two other pieces last night, as I know we're getting short on time here. Something that's really exciting for the community is last Thursday we sold the bonds for the upcoming construction projects that were approved by the voters in November. And we're really thrilled with the results. It's actually, I couldn't be more thrilled. During our informational campaign, we had projected the interest rate that we would get for borrowing the money at 3.9%. We actually had 11 bids, which our financial consultant Ellers says that you're lucky if you get three or four. There just weren't a lot of bonds on the market last week when these were sold. We got 11 bids. And the interest rate came in at 3.22%. Now, the average person thinks, wow, 3.9 to 3.22, that's not very good. For the financial people in our listening audience, they know this is substantial. And what it does accumulate to is a savings of about a total of about $3.9 million over the life of the bond compared to what we had shared with the community during the informational campaign. So that's wonderful. So in actual real terms, we've already set our levy for 2019, because we have to do that based upon what's called the pre-sale estimate when we're required by law to set that in December. And if you remember, we had projected for a $250,000 house, it would be an increase of $27 on your property taxes for this project. Well, in 2020, we had projected a $27 increase and then remaining flat. We're actually going to, that will be about $12 versus $27 in fiscal 20. Now, again, $15 is not a tremendous amount, you know, comparatively for that homeowner, but my point of sharing it is that the school district is really serious about being good stewards, and we are looking to put ourselves in a position where we can make sure that the project over the life of it costs less than what we had promised the taxpayers that it would be, and this is step one in that direction. Over the life of this bond, we'll most likely refinance it a couple of times to hopefully get a more favorable interest rate. But this is substantial. This is just an outstanding result for the community. Part of it is our AA plus. Only two school districts in the state have a better bond rating than we do, and that's Wayzata and Edina. And we're very proud of that AA plus bond rating. It is something that really allows us to get some great bids on these kinds of things. And again, it's saving taxpayers to the tune of about $3.9 million over the life of the bond. Because we didn't actually have to bond for the full $40.975 million that we were authorized to because of this really great interest rate. So I also want folks to know we didn't bond up to what we've been authorized to do. We left about, there's about $2 million total that was left on the table there. And all of our estimates so far look like they're on track, but we do also have the ability to go back out and bond for that $2 million worth of authority that we have should there be some kind of catastrophic circumstance in the construction industry as we're going through these projects. We want to be very clear. We don't anticipate that we have to do that, but it is something we are bonding for less than what we said we would bond because the market is favorable to where we don't need as much to cover the projects that we have we've put forth to the community. And again, the anticipation right now is saving a total of $3.9 million over the life of the bond, $12 on a $250,000 house versus $27,000. So great news for our community.
That is great news, and you have to almost enjoy being a voice of a project of this magnitude. How often do you get to bring forth good news like that when it comes to financing? So,
well, you know, I think there's a number of things we've been put in a good position in terms of the history of stewardship that the district has. You know, we've recently had our bond rating again, and again, that AA plus is nothing to shake a stick at. It is the second highest bond rating you can get. Only two districts in the state have a better bond rating. That makes our bonds attractive to investors, as shown by having 11 bids on it, which is great. So Ellers Incorporated, you know, they do a lot of these, and they said there was a number of circumstances, and frankly, some of it was a little bit of luck in terms of only a couple of, you know, a lesser amount of bonds on the table last week for investors to go after. So we're thrilled with that.
Yeah. All right.
One final piece that the board did last night that I just want to mention is that we've had some questions from people in the community about the name of the new elementary school, and we've had actually the most substantial feedback I've got about the project so far is people wanting to make sure that the new elementary school maintains the Greenvale Park name. And so last night the board acted to say, yes, the new elementary school will be called Greenvale Park. The campus upon which it sits will be also called Greenvale Park. And then at a later date, they will determine the name for the early childhood building, which is the existing elementary school. So we just want folks in the community to know that we've heard you and that people were very interested in making sure that outstanding school culture that we have at Greenvale Park Elementary and the Gecko Pride and those kinds of things transition over to the new building.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in, Matt, keeping our listeners informed. As always, Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, who will join us after board meetings and keep you up to date with what's going on. Thanks, Matt.
Hey, thank you so much. You have a great day here.
You too.